That the Spirit.
Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon, and happy Peshach.
What?
Yes. Yes. I'm not sure I've said it correctly. Peshach, oh, that's the Hebrew for Passover.
Oh, very nice.
And I'm a couple of days late, but
hey.
we've got to do it when we've got the chance. So Peshach is, there is the big day of Passover, which was Saturday or Sunday, the 19th. And then Passover stretches, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread stretches on for an entire week.
Passover is obviously not as morbid as it sounds either.
No. So Passover, I read a funny story about somebody, a tourist in Israel, deciding that they wanted to buy sandwiches for lunch to eat in the bus when they were touring around in Passover week. This is not, on the whole, a good idea. Cultural insensitivity would rank high in people.
Right.
Who want to eat bread, because bread has yeast. Well, it doesn't have baking powder, I suppose. Oh, here, I'm a bit ignorant, but
it's all right, mate. This isn't a cooking show. It's the it's a religious
segment. You certainly wouldn't come to me for a cooking show. But the tradition of Passover is incredibly significant for Jews. It's the central defining event.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it ended in a horrendous way with some mad 19-year-old thinking that they would do a revenge for Christchurch by shooting up at a synagogue.
Was it a revenge, or was it he just thought the Christchurch massacre was a great thing and so he would copycat it?
Yeah, I think he mentioned that dude a few times in his...
He did apparently adapt the Christchurch manifesto, the manifesto that was issued by the killer.
Yes.
So perhaps that was his logic, that he was going to turn it on its head.
19.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty shocking. But, some 19-year-olds have well-developed ideas and some have crazy ideas. You should know that. What is significant about this, though, is that it was a memorial day. So it's the very end of Passover. And Jews have had their Passover feast on the first night, when historically what happens is that they gather as families and have a meal that's pretty highly prescribed as to, the bitter herbs and the various toasts and the questions that the youngest child asks the oldest person, that goes right back to the escape from Egypt, which is the beginning of the Jewish calendar.
Is the food in this case representing all sorts of stuff, or what's the angle there?
Well, it's kind of like a ritual for this family meal.
Yeah.
What happened on this night? Why is this night different from all other nights?
Yes.
And the answer is, this is the night that we escaped from Egypt. This is the night we became free. And so it's a kind of liturgy of a family liturgy of the trek to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Quite powerful and moving as an event. And if you ever get a chance to go to a Peshach meal, accept it.
Right.
Because it's an incredible connection with history and present-day formation, all put together.
Awesome.
But then the feast then continues for a further week, when they're effectively purifying the house to start again. It's the beginning of the year, of the religious year for Jews.
Yeah.
And so they have to cut off all things of the old, and through a process of purging, which is symbolized by cleaning out the house, a total spring clean, which takes place before the Passover festival begins, all the old bread is thrown away. And then the commencement is made of a kind of the new year with all its new prospects.
So you hold off on getting any sort of new bread. Is it like, so they fast for a while before they have this big feast kind of thing?
But they eat a very restricted diet.
Right. Take it easy on the carbs.
Very, very restricted diet. There are other days of fasting, but they're more linked with the Day of Atonement, the Great Day of Atonement, which is in roughly in October.
Okay.
In this context, in America, you know, where Jews are very much more visible than in New Zealand, targeting Jews on such a day becomes so, so very easy. So not only were Christians targeted in Sri Lanka, but Jews were targeted, and you know, so much is done to shape up Jewish identity at this time, so it's not surprising that it might fall into the hands of a distressed young Muslim who hasn't managed to make it into ISIS, or whatever his logic was, that he might try and take a private revenge.
Yeah, it sounds like it could have been much worse. You know, I guess there's still, the details are still emerging, but it sounds like his gun stopped working.
I think it was, you know, a typical harebrained scheme by a person who had conceived the idea of, you know, a few hours beforehand, presumably. He must have taken a little longer than that. But clearly his tools and his apparatus were not as sophisticated as in Christchurch. And see, this is what makes the Sri Lankan case so, so disturbing, because here is another Muslim revenge against Christians, but this one couldn't have been conceived at the time of Christchurch. I mean, you don't plan and strike at, is it, 8 targets simultaneously without careful reconnoitering.
Yes.
And so the time doesn't work, to kind of make sense of it. And it's odd, too, because in Sri Lanka, really it's the Tamil majority that, why would Muslims target Christians when the real enemy is militant Buddhists? So the whole thing is a sad affair.
Did you say militant Buddhists?
Oh, yes. But there is a notion that is much, it's very common in the West, that Islam and Christianity are violent, and that Buddhism is peaceful and kind.
But in fact, people are violent.
Precisely. Yeah. That's what it is. And in Sri Lanka and in Myanmar, you know, the two strongest Buddhist countries of the world, they are the head of powerful, repressive regimes in which religion plays a key part in the communal violence.
And in control, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very much in control.
Yeah.
The civil war that raged in Sri Lanka, and the ways in which, there were some monks in Myanmar who had opposed the takeover by the generals. But in general, that's badly put, overall, Buddhism has been used, and they've targeted against the Muslim, and especially the Muslim minority in Myanmar. So there's, religion creates some messes, but as you say,
agreed,
people use religion.
That's true. Yep. I think the Buddhism thing, you think, oh, monk, chill, you know, but maybe that's something worth looking into next week.
It certainly would be, because I think the idea of monks as the symbol of Buddhism and as all peace, I mean, there is a great deal more to the story.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks, Peter.
All right, very good.
Always a pleasure to chat, and we'll catch you next Monday.
Look forward to it. Okay, see you.